Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Nagatik. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
All that you've brought into our life and that you're bringing and sending to us, Father, we thank you for your word. It strengthens and sustains us. We thank you for the truth of your word, for you said the truth will make us free. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, who guides us and gives us what belongs to you. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, for the blood of Jesus that covers and cleanses and cures and connects us to you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, just have your way in this place. Father, we know, we understand it. Your will be done and your kingdom come. And we're asking even now, Lord God. Father, we thank you now. Thank you, Lord God, for clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearer be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, and peace, and even prosperity to those that hear and believe it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you, Lord God, for sanctification. We thank you, Lord God, for revelation and illumination. We thank you, God, for all that you're bringing to us, oh God. And Father, after you have done all you want to do in this service, after you've healed and delivered and set free, Lord, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. And we will join in with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, that chant and declare one to another that you are holy, God. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I give it all to you today, Lord. You're worthy, oh God, of taking care of all of my problems and my pain. You're capable. Father, I pray right now for somebody's healing. Father, I pray for the pain to cease even now, Lord. I pray for it right now, dear God. I pray, God, that you would move the pain. Lord, whether it's a body ache, whether it's a heartache. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you touch, God. Father, let them know. Let them see, let them feel, let them understand the healing power, the virtue of God. Do it now, Lord. Father, I pray for someone else in their mind, in their mind where the enemies try to destroy them, to cast down every high thing, every thought, everything that is not of you, God. Cast it down right now. I declare that you'll live and not die. I declare that you will have peace and joy and you won't be depressed. I declare that the spirit of depression will have to loose you and let you go. Father, in Jesus' name, the enemy's telling so many people you're lonely and discouraging you. I rebuke that spirit right now, because the Bible says that God promises that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he'll be with us even into the end of the world. I declare it right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, right now, Father, every relationship, whether it's friendship or kinship, that the enemy is attacked, I declare right now in the name of Jesus that we cast that down right now, and that there'll be unity and peace, that there will be meekness between each other, that there will be humility, God, lowliness, and that we will forbear one another in love. In Jesus' name, I declare it. I declare it. I decree it. I call it done right now. Father, for those that, the ones that cannot control that blood pressure, God, I pray a healing right now. The one that cannot control, Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. The one that's blood sugar, your blood sugar's been out of control, is up and down, it's all over the place. But I declare in the name of Jesus that there be regulation of your blood sugar level. I declare in the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now, God. I thank you, God, right now in the name of Jesus. If there's any gastrointestinal problems, God, any colon problem, God, that you would heal it now, Father. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, muscle diseases, I command you to cease right now. And I command the power of God, the anointing of God, to destroy that yoke, that burden, that pain, that situation right now in Jesus' name. Oh, glory be to your name, Father. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God. Heart issues and back issues, I declare healing right now. In the name of Jesus right now, I declare healing right now. There's power in the name of Jesus, but he gives the authority to the church. We thank you, God. We walk in the authority to call a healing now. You sent your word and healed us. We declare healing right now in the name of Jesus. Every cancer, every tumor, every cyst, disappear. Disappear. Leave in Jesus' name. We command it now. We command it now. Every blockage, everything, I command in the name of Jesus. There's healing for the body. There's healing for the body. There's healing for the body. The blood of Jesus covers us. The blood of Jesus is against every disease. There's healing for the soul. There's healing for your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. The devil is a lie. You shall live and not die. Oh, yeah. You shall live and not die. To declare the power of God. Hallelujah. Every joint pain, every arthritic joint, every pain, every broken bone, everything that is not aligned, everything out of joint, let it be put in joint today. Let it walk right. Let it move right. Let it have flexibility in the name of Jesus right now. I declare it. I declare healing. I declare healing in the name of Jesus. There's power here. Oh, glory. Maybe your heart's been broke. God can heal you. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Yes, he will. Come on, receive your healing. I just say, I receive my healing. The devil is a lie. I receive my healing. Come on, I'm feeling better already. Say, I'm feeling better already. I can feel the change happening already. I can feel it already. In my body, I feel it. See, the woman with the issue of blood, nobody had to tell her she was healed. She felt something inside of her. She said, I know something happened in me. Oh, glory. Do I have anybody that knows something's happening? Something's happening. Jesus, something's happening. Something's happening right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, have confidence. Don't cast your confidence off. Have confidence in him. It's not in your power, not in the doctor's hands, but it's in God's hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to fill you with power, and so it doesn't matter what comes your way, you'll have power to overcome it. Amen. Tell somebody you got power. You have power to overcome whatever comes your way. Whether it comes today, this evening, or tomorrow, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have the power to be able to overcome it, to endure hardness as a good soldier. You have the power. Notice what he said in verse 8. He said, don't worry about that. All of that's in the Father's power, but you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. The problem with many of us today is that we don't want to be witnesses anymore because we don't want people to say nothing about us. We don't want them to judge us or think about us in a certain way. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what they think. It matters what he thinks. The Bible said, how can we judge another man's servant? You're God's servant. And so whether you rise and fall, with your wrongs or your rights, no man has the right to say you're wrong except God. All right, let me leave that alone because that get a little touchy too. But he said, first we ought to be what? Witnesses. Now, God has called us to three things. Three things. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. He called us to three things. He called us to witness. He calls us to work, and he's called us to worship. If you're not doing those three things in your life, you are not fulfilling the will of God. If you're not working, if you're not witnessing, and you're not worshiping, you're not fulfilling the will of God. You need to be working for the kingdom of God, working to expand the kingdom, working so that people may know who God is. You need to be witnessing to make sure that they understand that I'm a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ because he rose in me. I'm a witness of the power of the Holy Ghost. Nobody shouldn't be able to tell you that the Holy Ghost is for them back then. It ain't for us now because I got the Holy Ghost in me. So you can't tell me. And I was talking to this guy. He's trying to argue me down about some scriptures and stuff like that. I said, I hear what you got to say, but I know what I know because I experience what I know. Oh, come on and say, you might not have experienced what I've experienced, but I have an experience in God that won't let me believe what you believe. Anybody have any experience? If somebody told you that, if somebody told you something about God, will you be able to say, you know, I know he's a healer. If they tell you, no, God don't heal no more. Yeah, I know he's a healer. God don't speak to people. Oh, I know he spoke to me this morning. That's how come I woke up. I didn't wake up by the alarm clock. I woke up because he spoke a word in my spirit. Shook me and I got up out of the bed. Oh, hallelujah. They can't tell me about my God. I know too much about him. That's why I don't doubt him. I walk with him, and when I walk with him, I get to know him. I get to understand him. I get to experience him. I get to speak to him. I get to know what he wants. I get to know what displeases him and what pleases him. And so I do this every day. Every day I get up, I may not do it all right, but guess what? He sees me, and he knows my rising and my fall. And so he teaches me what pleases him. So he said, be witnesses, but he didn't say, be witnesses with other Christians. He said, be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and in what? Samaria. And he said, the uttermost. The uttermost, that means the gutter. That means everywhere. That means anywhere. That means wherever you go, you ought to be a witness. You shouldn't be looking around to see if anybody's noticing you doing something. Oh, come on and say, all right. I'm going to get out of here in a few minutes. This is just the way he gave it to me. I got to give it to you the way he gave it. So we have the promise. But then they were obedient because they went to the upper room. I've been to that upper room. Let me tell you something. It's still an anointing in that room. I'm telling you. We went to the upper room and the power of God that was in that place. We sat there and we discussed the word a little bit. And then it was time to go. And I just didn't feel like going. I was like, Lord, I just don't want to walk away from the upper room. Not just like this. They said, okay, it's time to go. Boy, I started singing. And before you know it, the power of God fell. It had some people from some other foreign countries. They were, next thing you know, they were screaming and hollering and rolling on the floor. And I mean, it was, and the people that was with us, they was crying and reaching out and they was laying out and just speaking in tongues, doing all kind of, it was a whole bunch of stuff going on. Just everybody was doing something. Wasn't nobody spectating. And you know what I thought was funny? We had pictures and video from all those, somebody took pictures and video from everywhere else. Except the upper room, because nobody could video that because everybody was into what God was doing. Yeah. And when you think about it, we need an upper room experience to where we don't spectate, but everybody participate so that we can all receive the blessing from being present and in the presence of God. He says in Acts chapter 2, he says when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. Now, he said they were in one place and on one accord, right? And here we find out that if you really study it, there were thousands of people that went to the upper room. But there was only 120 of them that decided that I'm just going to wait and see what happened. 120 of them stayed. Now, this Jesus was 40 days with them, and for 10 days, 9 days and a half or more, nothing happened. So a week went by, they ain't seen no Jesus. They ain't heard no voice. They said, this is enough, I'm going home. A whole bunch of them went home. But for 120 people, they said, we're going to keep praying. Will you keep praying when nothing happens? Will you keep praying? Will you hang in there when you don't see Jesus? Will you hang in there when the experience that you had 40 days ago ain't the same experience? Will you keep on keeping on when it seemed like nothing's going your way? When it seemed like you're just in a place, ain't nothing happening? Will you stand fast and will you stay with it until God does something? Yeah. Is that all right today? Yeah. Will you stay put until God do what he has to do? Yeah. You see, God is not short of his promises. We're just short on patience. Yeah. The Bible tells us to let patience have her what? Perfect work. In order for patience to work in our life, we must stay with it. Now, we are not patient when we're complaining because we ain't got no other choice. That's not patience. You can't go nowhere. You don't have a choice. You got to stay right there. But the whole time you're complaining and you're crying, that's not patience. Patience is when I'm not going to cry about it because I know God hadn't forgot about me. Amen. I know in due time and in due season, he'll do, because I've humbled myself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt me in due season. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Don't faint because it's not happening when you want it to happen. The problem with us is that we try to direct God too much. We try to tell God who we want him to bless us through. We try to tell God what day we want the blessing. We try to give God a deadline. We try to tell God how to do it, when to do it, and what time we... God, you got to fit into my time schedule, because if you don't do it by this time, I'm just going to do something else. Well, you think that moves God? Just because you want to do something else? God said, well, have at it. What do you think you can do that I can't do? You think that makes God want to hurry up? We got to get our, come on, angels. We got to get our stuff together because, I hold him down and he need me to hurry up. No, God is not saying that. God said, well, go ahead and do what you're going to do. And you're still going to come back and pray some more. You're still going to come back and say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. And I'm telling you, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. We need to learn how to wait. We don't have patience enough to wait. You know, I used to use this as an example, but back when, you know, when I was early on, I used to go to the mall and stuff with my wife. She's a shopper and I'm not. She liked to go look at stuff and go to another store, then come back to that store and look at the same stuff that she looked at a minute ago. And you know, I would go. I said, let me go find me somewhere to sit down. And I sit there and I look at my watch. And this is before you had all the stuff to entertain you on the phone. So I just sit there, and I'm like, man, this don't make no sense. I'm complaining the whole time. Then I got another man that comes sit beside me, and he complaining. And so here we go. We both complaining, but we're not, and you know, and then we walk away and brag, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, you'll be there for your wife. You know, that's what she want to do. And we wasn't patient. We were rushing them. I wish she'd hurry up. Here, what, you want to buy that? Come on, that look good. Yeah, let's lie. Just not, no, you don't even care how it look. Yeah, that look good right there. Go ahead and get it. That's not patience. Just wanting something. I'm saying that to say, because that's how we are. We just want something. We just want something. We just want something to happen. We don't care what it is. But I don't want just something to happen. I want the will of God. I want what God promised me. I want exactly what God has in store for me. I don't want just any old thing. I don't want him to just appease me. I don't want a pacifier. I want a bottle. Amen. Y'all don't hear me. Lord have mercy. I want what God has for me. Because only what he has for me will suit me. Only what he has for me will satisfy me. And so he told them, he said, go, and he said, and wait. And they went, and the Bible said, on the day of Pentecost, on the day that they were to give thanks. Look at this here. Lord have mercy. The Bible said, when you pray, he said, make your requests be made known through what? Thanksgiving. I think this is good preaching. I don't know about y'all. But he said, make your request be made known through what? Thanksgiving. Here they were waiting and praying, but on the day that they were supposed to be thanking God was the day that they got the blessing of God. God set aside a day for you to start thanking. That was the day. All they were supposed to do was just thank God all day long. They were supposed to celebrate all day long. And so now you get your mind off what you don't have, and you put your mind on what God has given you and what you do have. That's where we need to be. I got to get my mind off of what I don't have. I got to get my mind off what I hadn't achieved yet and put my mind on what God has blessed me with and all the things he blessed me for and how far he's brought me. I look back at for how far God has brought me, and I realize that I need to be thankful. And when we get a thankful heart and a grateful heart, that is when God will bless our heart. I wish I had somebody. We need to know that God will bless us when we're grateful. God will bless us not when we're complaining, but when we're claiming, when we're proclaiming his blessings. Come on and say amen. Amen. When they were in one place and one accord, and he said they were in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. I got to rush to my clothes. He said suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. See, that's what I love about God. Without warning, he will interrupt your life. Preach. Without warning, he will do something in your life that you've been praying all this time, and you've been sending your money to TBN, you've been praying, you've been going to conferences, you've been walling on the floor, you've been doing all of that stuff not knowing that God had already had it in store for you. He had it in 2017. He wasn't intending for you to get it in 2012, but you've been praying since 2012, and God blessed you in 2017. I wish I had somebody. God already knew what he was doing. God knows what he's doing. We just don't know what he's doing. I wish I had somebody in the house. Tell somebody, God knows what he's doing. We just don't know what he's doing. But I'm all right with not knowing because I trust him. I'm all right with not knowing because I believe in him. I'm like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust. Oh, yes. Glory be to God. Let me finish here. He said it came a sound from heaven. And you know, sometimes when we pray, we don't hear nothing. But all of a sudden, it came a sound from heaven. And you know what? They didn't know what that sound meant. All they knew is that it came from heaven. And see, sometimes we may not know what God is doing. We may not understand the word that God has given us today. But what we need to know is the word from heaven. As a sound of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. See, at least they were in the right vicinity so that they can get the blessing of God. And you got to be in the right vicinity. You got to be in the right place at the right time to get the right thing that God has intended for you. And you know what? God knew who was going to be there. He knew that those other folks was going to walk out. He said, I got them 120 I've been dealing with. I got those 120 that's going to hold on. And you know what? It had somebody probably in the room. They was there because their mama didn't want to go home, preach. And you know, so that's why you need to make sure your children is in the place where you are so that they can get blessed just like you getting. Y'all don't look at me funny. I'm just telling you. That's why you need to make sure your loved ones don't try to rush you off. Let me go, girl. This boy worrying me. No. You stay right here until God blesses your life so that they can get the same blessings that God has in store for you. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me give you an example. This is my, let me give you an example with my sanctified mind. That John Mark was a young man. He was a boy during this time, but it was John Mark that was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wrote the Gospel of St. Mark. Look at that. And you know, he had to be there because his mama wasn't going to let him go home. Because his mama's house is where they prayed for Peter to be released. So I know he had to be in the number. And look what God did through a young man who didn't even know really what was going on, but he was there because of his mama. We have to understand that because of you, your children will be blessed. Amen. All right, I'm going to leave that alone too. I ain't get too many amens. He says that, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And I'm finishing. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look at what happened here. He said that there were appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire. And what fire represents here, not only does fire represent the ability to purify, but fire represents power. They had power. And notice what it was. It was as a tongue. As a tongue. Now, I never really said it like this or preached it like this, but because I don't want to take away from the power of the Holy Spirit setting on them and the tongues that came through them. But when he says tongues of fire, that goes to show you that there is power in your tongue. Now, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that's for an average person. But there's more power in the mouth of a believer than there is in an average. Lord have mercy. Y'all got to get with me. There's more power in your tongue. There's more power in what you say than it is in an ordinary person. Because when you speak as God spoke. You speak as oracles of God. You speak because you're part of the body of Christ. You speak because you belong to the church. You speak because you're the bride and the one who speaks. And you know, if my wife says something, if the people call and they say, let me speak to the person, the the decision maker of the house, just like if I can make a decision, she can make one too, right? And so guess what? You have the power as the bride to be able to speak, and powerful things begin to happen. That's why Jesus told Peter, he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. He tells him, he said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And so we have power. I wish I had some people, but we're too quiet when it comes to the things of God. We're too quiet when it comes to talking about healing and health. We're too quiet when it comes to talking about salvation. We're too quiet when it comes to talking about the things that God has done for us. We need to open up our mouth, because there are some things that God is going to do in our life that when we open up our mouth, the power comes out. The power of God is spoken. When I say something, you ought to hear and feel the power of God. Do you feel it today? The Bible says that it sat upon each one of them. We need the Holy Ghost to sit on us sometime. We get all unruly. We get all out of place. But if he sit on us, we'll be still. If he sit on us, we'll do the right thing. If he sits on us, then we'll think the right thing. If he sits on us, we'll say the right thing. Do I have any witnesses here? But we have to first understand the power of Pentecost, because when we get the power of Pentecost, that means that I need to learn how to thank God for what he done yesterday. If I want God to do something for me today, come on and shout amen in here and give God some praise. Anybody want to have the power? Anybody want to be on one accord with the Spirit? Anybody want to receive power from on high? I don't want the power the electric company give me, although I appreciate that. I understand that I got power under the hood of my car, and I appreciate that. And sometimes I brag on it. But I understand all of that power. But when I'm talking about power, I'm talking about Holy Ghost power. The word Holy Ghost power, the word power that is dunamis. And what dunamis means is the ability to explode. I wish I had some explosions in here. Oh yeah, somebody need to explode on the devil. You need to explode whenever he try to do things in your life. You need to explode on him and say, look, I'm going to show you what I'm made of. I'm going to show you that I got power on the inside. I'm going to show you that can't nobody do anything to me that God won't let them. I wish I had somebody in the house. I'm here to let you know that I'm going to explode, and I'm going to speak a word that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on and shout yes in here. I'm going to explode and say that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. Do I have any explosions going on? We need to have a word explosion. What do you mean, preacher? It need to be a time when all we do is quote the word. I ain't got time to complain, because when I open up my mouth, instead of me complaining, I start to proclaiming what God has already said. I know that the enemy came in, but the Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody? They say that the enemy comes in one way, but he'll flee seven ways. Come on and shout yes here. He said, resist the devil and he will flee. Do I have anybody that say, I got the power of Pentecost? I'm here to say thank you, Jesus. I'm here to say thank you, Lord, that no matter what goes on in my life, that you sit high and look low. I lift my head into the hills, for whence cometh my help? For my help comes from the Lord. Do I have a word explosion that said that if God be for us, then who can be against us? Come on and shout yes. Shout yes. Do I have anybody that has a word explosion and experience the power of Pentecost that will let the devil know that you can't touch this? Oh, come on and shout yes here. Anybody in the house that want to say, won't God do it? I say, won't God do it? Won't God feel you? Oh, come on and shout amen. When folks write you off, God will wipe you off and fill you with the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout yes. The yes, the power of the Holy Ghost ain't nothing but the power of God, ain't nothing but the person of God. See,